Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Y'all got your Bible here. Y'all got your Bible at home. Let's get right into the Word today. Let's say it like we mean it. Think about what you're saying. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Give God your best shout here and at home. Amen. Open your Bible with me to the New Testament. And guys, let's don't put the scripture up quite yet, but let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're finishing a series on how to live a life with no regret. How to live a life with no regret. And we've been talking about how that the whole idea came to me. I read a book from the New York Best Time Seller, and this book was all about this physician that went around and interviewed people who were dying, people who didn't have long to live. And they asked them this question: if you could live your life over, what would you do differently? If you could live your life over, what would you do differently? I think all of us would do things differently thus far. Can we agree on that today? But you know what? We're learning. You know, we're not losing. We're learning. And we're believing for God to take all of our calamities and turn them into opportunities. I'm going to say that again. We're believing that God's going to take all of our calamities and turn them into our opportunities. We're believing everything that has been bad that's happened to us, God is going to turn around for the good to come to us. Amen, church? So we're talking about how to live a life with no regrets, and we looked at the top five. Now, there are more than five, but these were the top five. And today I want to end it with this. The number five on the list was, they said, if we could live our life over again, we would forgive quicker. We would have forgiven people who've hurt us quicker. So we're going to talk about forgiveness today and unforgiveness today. And they said, you know, I've been around people who were dying. I've seen people pass from this life into the next in hospital rooms. And I've been around death in the ministry. Kim and I are celebrating 40 years of ministry, by the way, this year. 40 years of ministry. To God be the glory. Pray for us. But I've seen it. And you know what? I've never seen anybody who had died before me. I've never seen anybody say, oh, don't forget to wash my Mercedes. Or don't forget to clean out the pool. Or don't forget, you know, to vacuum the carpet in the house, clean the house, or have this fixed or that fixed. I've never heard them talk about their pool, their house, their car, their hobbies, their vacations. I've never heard them talk about that. And so, you know, it's so important that you and I, if we're going to live a life of no regret, God does not want us to live with regret. God wants us to live with expectation and hope. Amen. And so how do we forgive quicker? We're going to talk about what forgiveness is. We're going to talk about defining it, but then also how do you forgive and why should we forgive? So what it is, why we should forgive, and how to forgive before we're done today together. So it really is important, isn't it? You know, they tell us, doctors tell us, and we have doctors in our congregation, I'm sure they would agree, they tell us that the most unhealthy emotion is unforgiveness. The most unhealthy emotion is unforgiveness. You know, unforgiveness produces bitterness. And bitterness, what? Bible says it rots our very bones. What is that? Arthritis. Wow. Now, we're not saying everybody who has arthritis is living in unforgiveness, but we are saying it could cause that in a person's life. So if it's the most unhealthiest emotion in the world, then you and I don't want to live with unforgiveness. We want to learn how to forgive. Now, forgive in the Bible, very simple. I like it simple. I like it practical. Forgive in the Bible is defined as this. Let it go. It sounds like, you know, that Disney movie. Let it go. Let it go and let it drop. Let it go and let it drop. Say that with me. Let it go and let it drop. So to forgive is to let it go, because we're all going to be hurt. Can we all agree here and at home, online, those who wanted to be here couldn't be here, and this is your church home. Isn't it true? We all know we're all going to be hurt, right? Because the world is a hurting world, and hurt people hurt people. And hurt people who hold on to their hurt are held hostage, right? Because really, unforgiveness doesn't really hurt that person who offended me. It hurts me, and I'm allowing what they did to me to control me in my life. I'm really giving them control over my life by not forgiving them. By forgiving them, I'm actually freeing them and me as well. So to forgive means to let it go and let it drop. Now, a lot of people have a lot of different myths and a lot of different definitions of forgiveness. I've heard this, so celebrating 40 years of ministry. Oh my goodness, to God be the glory. And counseling people down through the years, I've heard this. Well, you know, Pastor, if I'm going to forgive them, I know I've got to forget it. Forgiving is forgetting, and it's not. It's not. To forgive somebody doesn't mean you will forget what they did to you. No, now, Pastor, I've heard that. That's wrong. I've heard that if you really forgive somebody, you know you've forgiven them if you've forgotten it. That's a myth. Can I give you a story in the Bible that brings out this truth that you can forgive people without forgetting what they did to you? How about Joseph? Y'all remember Joseph in the Bible? Don't you love the story of Joseph? Joseph the dreamer. You know, what did his brothers, dysfunctional family on steroids, right? I mean, his brothers, what did they do? They wanted to kill him. They put him in a pit. They were going to kill him, going to lie and tell their father that he was killed by an animal. And they didn't kill him, but what did they do? They sold him into slavery. So he went from his father's house to the pit, to what? To prison, eventually to the palace. Now, remember this. While he got to the palace, he was second in command over Egypt. Is that right? God promoted him, yeah. And he's second in command. Only one higher than him is Pharaoh. And here comes his family. Here comes his brothers who betrayed him. Anybody here been betrayed before? You've been hurt. You've been offended. You've been wounded. Injustice. I think we all have, and we all will be hurt. You're going to get hurt in church because church is messy, because people aren't perfect. You're going to get hurt on your job because the world is a broken world. So we will get hurt at home, in our neighborhood, at church, at Walmart, at the gas station, at Snooks, at Save-A-Lot, on Highway 94 Highway. You will get hurt. That's just part of life, right? We will get hurt. So what does it mean to forgive somebody? How do I know that I've really forgiven them? Well, you'll forget it. No, Joseph forgave them, but Joseph did not forget what they did. Do y'all remember they stood before Joseph? He's second in command, and he says to them, I remember what all you rascals tried to do to me. Do you remember that? This is in the Bible. Joseph said, I remember you tried to do me evil. That's what he said. King James Version says evil. You meant evil for me, but God took the calamity, turned it into an opportunity. So I've forgiven you, but I haven't forgotten it. And then what did he do? He reached out and ministered to them, right? But he didn't forget how they hurt him, how they sold him, how they wounded him, how they betrayed him. He didn't forget, but he did forgive. Are you with me so far? So to forgive somebody, how do you know, Pastor, that you've really let it drop, you've really let it go, that it's not opening the door in your life to be devoured, destroyed, robbed from, How do you know that you've really forgiven somebody? I thought if I've really forgiven them, I've forgotten it. No, you're going to remember it. You know, you can forgive without forgetting. Well, how about this one? Well, you know, Pastor, I guess I've got to forgive them. That means we've got to reconcile. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. I'm talking to somebody here today, because I'm talking to people here in this room and online all over the world, that this is your church, that you've got deep hurts. You've been wounded. You have a broken heart. You have hurts deeper than anybody else. And we can't relate, but God can, because he came to heal the broken hearted, right? He came to give us beauty for ashes. Wow. So you can forgive somebody without reconciliation. I guess I've got to forgive them and I've got to reconcile. No. Forgiveness is not reconciliation, because you can forgive somebody and they won't forgive you. Right? You can forgive somebody without any reconciliation. And really, truly, before there's reconciliation in a couple, in a marriage, in a home, in a relationship, at work, at school, on the campus, at college, in the university, before there's reconciliation, let me give it to you, it starts with the letter R. There must be repentance. There must be a change of heart. Well, he left me, went out and had adultery. Now he comes back, wants to reconcile. I forgive him, but I'm not just going to reconcile. He needs to repent. She needs to repent before there's reconciliation. There needs to be a change of heart, a change of life, a change of way of doing things in that person's life. So forgiveness is not forgetting. Can we all agree? There's all kinds of Bible illustrations. You can forgive somebody and never forget what they did to you, but still forgive them. You can forgive somebody and they never ask you for forgiveness, but you can forgive them. There's no reconciliation. Reconciliation doesn't start in a marriage until there's repentance in that person's life. Number two, restitution. And number three, rebuilding of trust. We can't break a husband or a wife's trust or an employer or a friend's trust and then expect to gain it back overnight. There has to be a journey. There has to be time. There has to be rebuilding of trust. Trust is earned, not given. Am I helping anybody today? 40 years of ministry, 40 years of counseling, hurting people. So what we're talking about today, that those people said if they could live their life over again, they would forgive. Given other people who wronged them, hurt them, offended them, wounded them, quicker. You know, I think about the word quicker, because doesn't the Bible say that don't let the sun go down on your wrath? What does that mean? 45 years of marriage, Kim and I, and you know, you wouldn't have 45 years of marriage if you held a grudge overnight, over time. If you held a bitterness, grudge, get back, get envy, mad. If you did it over time, overnight, what does it do? It builds walls, right? It causes division. That's why God says, take care of everything today, right? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed mad at each other. Good counseling. So it's important then, you know, I know I've forgiven them, but not by forgetting it. I know I've forgiven them, but we haven't reconciled. They didn't forgive me, but I forgave them. Pastor, how do you know? I want to know. How do you know? Those of you sitting at home, I want to know. How do you know that I've really forgiven them then? Would you like to know? When you think of them, when you think of the event, when you think of the calamity, when you think of that situation, when you think of the words they said, when you think of what your ex said, your ex did, the doctor, the lawyer, the judge, your parent, your father, your mother, your sibling, your pastor, your so-called brethren you went to church with, sister in, when you think about them and what they did to hurt you, you have less pain and more peace. There it is. 40 years of ministry. You have less pain and more peace when the memory comes up. Isn't that cool? That's real simple right there, isn't it? So when I think about them and what they did, what they said, my ex, the doctor, the lawyer, the judge, the people, the church, the board, the institution, society, culture, the neighborhood, the committee, when I think about them and it still hurts and it rocks my world, then I haven't forgiven them. But it still hurts, but not as much. Then I am forgiving them. Does that make sense? Everybody say less pain and more peace. That's how you know. So we've defined what forgiveness is. We've shown you when you know you have or are forgiving somebody, then now why should we forgive? Number one, because God forgave us. Because God forgave us. And we're to follow His role model, His suit, right? We're to be like God. Amen, church? We're to be like Christ. We're called Christians. Christian actually means little Christ. We're to be little Christ, little Christians, Christ followers. We're to be like His, follow His model. And so why should we forgive? Because God forgave us. Number two, because the word commands us to do it. And here's what I know. If you want a happy life, next weekend I start a brand new series on the happiness advantage. All during March, we're going to talk about happiness and how to be happy. But if you want to be happy, you got to build your life on principles and not emotions. If you and I want to be happy, really happy, we have to build our life on principles and not our feelings or our emotions. Boy, that's worth coming here for 30 years. Coming here for 30 years, that's worth hearing that right there. It's called Build Your House on the Rock. You hear the Word of God and do it. And do it. So if I really want to be happy, then I have to obey God's word. I have to build my life on principles. I'm here today not because I feel like being here. I'm here today because of the principles that I built my life upon. The calling of God, obeying and fulfilling my calling, being faithful, being committed, being diligent. Amen. I'm here out of principle, not fad, not culture, not my peers, not pressure. I'm here because I'm at my calling, at my post, out of principle. Amen, somebody? So why should we forgive? I mean, they did us wrong. It wasn't our fault. Boy, I can relate. I know it happens. And I'm sorry about that. It happens. It happens in church. It happens where you work. It happens at Walmart. It happens. Is Sears still around? I don't think it is, right? It happens at Penny's. It used to happen at Sears. Amen. Old things pass away and all these. Amazon. So anyway, so we know that because God's forgiven us, number two, because the word, and then number three, because we need forgiveness. We need it. Do y'all remember in Matthew chapter 6, He said, if we don't forgive, God won't forgive us. Yeah, I grew up in the church, and when I would read that Matthew 6, verse 12, that would just, you know, that I would stumble over that verse. God, you telling me those people who hurt me, wounded me, wronged me, called me names, prejudice, racist, picked on me, they did all those things, they put me down, they called. You say, God, if I don't forgive them, God, you won't forgive me? God, what kind of a God are you? You probably never had that conversation, but I had that conversation. I think you can relate. And then one day, I got a revelation on that verse. When it says He won't forgive us if we don't forgive others, it's not because He doesn't want to, it's because He can't. Because God is a good God and God operates by His laws. And what is the law there? What is the law there? You mean, God, if I don't forgive my wife, you won't forgive me? Right. If I don't forgive my husband, you won't forgive me? Totally correct. If I don't forgive pastor, the church, the Christian, the brother, the sister, if I don't forgive them, God, you won't forgive me? Right on. God, how can you be a good, loving God for me? And that's your stipulation. Because of this principle, I can't receive what I don't sow. I can't receive what I don't give. It's called sowing and reaping. If I don't sow it, then I'm not positioned to reap it. If I don't sow money, then don't expect. If I don't sow money today in this offering, then don't expect money. If I don't sow kindness, don't expect it. If I don't sow love, don't expect it. If I don't sow forgiveness, don't expect it. It's not that God doesn't want to, it's that God can't Because God operates by the laws he's laid down, and sowing and reaping is a law as long as this earth remains, seed, time, and harvest. Am I helping somebody today? Oh my goodness, we're learning something, aren't we today? Okay, so let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Let's get into the word, amen? Now let God's word talk to you. Ephesians 4, now we're going to talk about, you know, how do we forgive? We defined it, we looked at it, and we understand the importance of it. And now, well, how do I forgive, Pastor? How can I let it go and let it drop? I mean, oh my goodness, Pastor, you don't understand. I might not, but God does. And God's for you today. And God will help you today. So let's look at it. Now, here's what I do. You know, I'm not saying this to boast or brag, but Margaret's sitting down here, my secretary. I've got 10,000 volumes in my library here. I got 5,000 volumes books in my library at home. I got every Bible that you can think of, every paraphrase, every translation, over 40 years of ministry. And when I get up here and I teach, I pick specific paraphrases for a reason. For a word that's in that paraphrase. That's why I pick it. I don't pick it because it's trendy, it's the latest, it's a fad. I pick it because it will bring out a word that reinforces the word that I'm teaching to you. Y'all got it? So remember, if they were to live their life over again, they would forgive quicker. So what you want to look for is the word quick in these scriptures. So look what he says. He says, be gentle with one another, be sensitive, forgive one another as and as quickly and thoroughly. Everybody say that, please. Quickly and thoroughly. No, Pastor, I want to get even. I want to make him suffer. I want to make her suffer. I'm going to give him burnt offerings. I'm going to tell him I really worship him. 3 burnt meals a week. That's what that old boy is going to get from me. And sex, no way. No sex. No. I'm going to make him miserable for... Quickly. Well, Pastor, I'll forgive him a little bit. I'll forgive her a little bit. I'll forgive them a little bit. But I'm not forgiving them totally until they forgive. Until they ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Forgiveness is that you and I let it drop and we let it go. Amen. And how are we to forgive? We're to do it quickly. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And we're to do it completely or thoroughly. Not halfway, not partial, not I'll move a little bit if they move a little bit. We set the initiative. And who's our role model? Jesus. All right? So he says, be gentle with one another, sensitive, forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Another scripture, Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Let the word talk to us today. Colossians 3, verse 13. It says, be even-tempered. Boy, that's a good one right there, right? Boy, don't that just blow your mind when some people, and you got to walk on eggshells around them. You don't know when this is going to be a good day or a bad day. Brace yourself, right? Well, really, spiritual maturity is to be even-keeled, right? Wow. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick. There's that word quick again, right? That's why I chose this translation, paraphrase. It's not really a translation. It's a paraphrase. Translation is word for word. Paraphrase is some man's. They put phrases in there. Paraphrase. The message paraphrase. He said, be even tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as what? Quickly. Notice the word quick and quickly. Quick as quickly and completely as the master has forgiven you. Now, here's what some Christians and some churches in a galaxy far, far, far away, here's how they forgive. And looking at this verse, it says, be even-tempered, content with second place, as quick as you can, put it on social media. As quick as you can, man, that church, those people, that husband, that wife, my in-laws, my outlaws, that what they did to me. Oh, my God, I'm going to put it on. I'm going to plaster it all over social media. Boy, that's not Christ-like. And then you want to be healed and you want to prosper and you want your kids to serve God and you want to keep your marriage together and you want your... Oh my goodness, you know, last night Gene sitting down here, and Gene, you know, he does interviews for the government, for people who want to work for the government, who want 6 figures in their salary. And he tells me all the time, Pastor, so many people lose a job for the government, 6 figures, because they have me check their social media. They have me check their social media. How many people do you know, they get ticked off and mad? Well, they do. They don't any longer kick the dog. They put it on social media. Come on, somebody. Now, is that Christian? No way. It's not Christ-like. It's not maturity. It's not Jesus. I can't see Jesus doing that in Jerusalem. Find the local internet, the local coffee shop. Doesn't have it at his house. So, man, I got to get back, get even, get quick. Amen? Wow. So it says, be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Quick to forgive an offense. You will get offended at our church. You will get offended at any church, at any job, at any career, any place in town, any city, any state, any nation. Life is broken. Life hurts. We will get hurt, and we'll get hurt more. What do we do with the hurt? The Bible says we got to be quick to forgive, do it quickly, and do it completely, right? Do it thoroughly. That's what the Bible says. Now, why do I need to do that? Because I need to be forgiven, because the Word commands me to do it, and because God forgave me. Amen? All right? So let's look at this real quick. I want to show you. Go with me. I'm going to skip over several scriptures, but let's go to Job chapter 11, Job 11, and let me give you five strategies, five takeaways on how to forgive. Would that be okay with everybody? Because I think this is something relevant that we all deal with, all of us, every day of our life. If we're breathing, we're hurting. If we're breathing, we've been offended. If we're breathing, we've had injustice done to us, right? So how do we deal with it so that we don't live a life of regret? Remember, they said if we could live our life over again, we would have forgiven quicker. That was the word in the book, quicker, all right? So how do you do that, Pastor? You told us what it is. You told us why we should do it. Now, Pastor, lay it on us. Tell us how, from God's word, that we can forgive. Now, this is based on the word, and it's based on 40 years of full-time ministry, okay? Number one, they all start with the letter R, so we can better remember them. Number one is recognize no one is perfect. Boy, when I come to church, if I'm looking for perfection, as soon as I got there, it's no longer perfect. Right? If I'm looking for a perfect marriage, don't get married. If I'm looking for a perfect job, then don't go to work. I shouldn't have said that. See there, Mildred, he said, I don't got to go, praise God. No, no, no. It's just an illustration. Y'all know what I mean. If I don't want to be hurt, you know, don't get out of bed, even though they say more people die in bed than plane crashes, right? It's true. So recognize that no one is perfect. If I'm looking for a perfect church, a perfect marriage, a perfect family, perfect community, perfect job, a perfect neighborhood, it ain't there. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. So number one, I have to recognize, this is going to help me forgive, that nobody is perfect. Number two, I've got to relinquish my rights to get even. I got to relinquish my rights to get even. Doesn't God say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6 through 8, God said, those who trouble you, I'll trouble them. He said, those that hurt you, God said, I'll avenge them. So why don't we let God be God? Because he knows how to get back better than we would ever know how to get back. Right? And so God knows when God's a just God, and God does not like injustice. Now, it may not happen when we want it to happen, but it will happen if we'll let it go and let it drop and give it to God. Right? So I got to relinquish my right to get even, to get back, to put it on social media. Okay. Praise the Lord. Number three, I've got to respond with good for evil. Respond. So recognize, relinquish, and respond. I've got to respond. Pastor, I was in your corner, man, until you got to this one. I know what you're going to say. The Bible says, you always say the Bible says, would you just stop it? No, I can't just stop it. The Bible says, bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who do you harm. Do good to those. It means buy their lunch today. The person who hurt you the most this week, buy. A happy meal at McDonald's, that'll work. So what do we do? What do? We respond with good for the evil done to us. Pastor, there's no way. Pastor, I'm hurting. I got deep hurts. You know, Pastor, what my ex did, what the lawyer, what the judge, what the city, what the community, what the government, what culture, prejudice, injustice, racism, belittling, looked down upon. Pastor, I got deep hurt. I'm sorry. I get it. I understand it. But he heals the broken heart. So what do? I know, Pastor, because 40 years of ministry, 40 years of counseling, I've heard people, Pastor, I know what the Bible says, but. Pastor, I know what the Bible says, but. Pastor, you don't know what my ex did to me. You don't know what my family, my in-laws, my neighbors, the church. You don't know where I worked, what they did to me. You don't know. And Pastor, I can't forgive them. And you know what I tell them? You're right. And after they pick up their false teeth, put it back in. I say, you're totally right. Right on. Right on. Groovy. You've got it. I don't know what the terms are today. I just say the ones of my day, okay? I think it's so stupid for 60-year-old people trying to say the terms of 20-year-old kids. Celebrate who you are. Amen. You say your thing and it's my thing. I'll say my thing. Amen. And we'll all get along. Amen. So we celebrate diversity. Seriously. Amen. Amen. Just be who you are. Okay. All right. So, I say to them, you're right. You can't do it. But then I always followed up. That's why we need God. That's why we need God. That's why we need God in our marriage. That's why we need God in our business. That's why we need God in our parenting. That's why we need God where we work. That's why we need God, because we can't. There's no way I can forgive the people who've hurt me, the people who've wronged me. There's no way. You know, when we started our church 35 years ago, we left a certain denomination, and I love that denomination. And they said, though, some people in that denomination said bad things about me and Kim. When we started this church 35 years ago, they began to plant rumors around in St. Louis, in Missouri, that I was I had committed adultery. I was having all kinds of sex with prostitutes in East St. Louis behind Kim's back. They said I had embezzled money. I mean, anything you could think of, they had said these nasty, terrible things. Now, the old Dave Blunt, you saw me crying that pegboard, didn't you? The old Dave Blunt, I just did the open workout for CrossFit. The old Dave Blunt, whoo, but when they did all that stuff to me, so I went 35 years ago. Man, I was hurt. I was heartbroken. These were my companions I went to church with. I had presbyters' meetings. I had fellowship with. These were preachers. And I was heartbroken, and I was just trying to follow the plan of God, hurt nobody, just fulfill God's will. So I went to a couple of my advisory guys on my board, and I went to one of them, and here's what he told me. He said, and he was nationally known minister, he said, sue him. He's in heaven today, but he said, sue him, sue every one of them. Go after him, put him in court, build your retirement. He seriously did that. This is a nationally known minister. I mean, he was mentored by Smith Wigglesworth, a nationally known guy, and he's in heaven today. I went to another board member that I had at that time, still have him to this day, nationally known, and here's what he said. Dave, let it go. Dave, let it drop. All it will do, it will break your focus from God's plan for your life. So I went to bed one night, and I had a dream. Now, I don't have a whole lot of dreams that I remember that are godly dreams. I have White Castle dreams, Pizza Hut dreams, Taco Bell dreams, but I don't have very many God dreams. Kim gets them all the time. But I had a dream, and in this dream, I was chasing a snake. Snakes in your dreams are a type of evil spirits in the devil. I was chasing a snake, and I was chasing this snake. It went behind the door. I opened the door. I went in to get that snake. The room was full of snakes. The snakes bit me, devoured me, and killed me. I woke up, and God was saying to me, Dave, if you chase down everybody that's hurt you, you're only going to self-destruct. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit? Come on, somebody. As the team comes out. So what do? Number three is we respond with good for evil. Number four, we refocus on God's plan for our life, not the person who hurt us. When we get together in our small groups, and I thank God for our small groups, and man, they're exploding, they're growing. We're going to double for the fall, and boy, we need them. Iron sharpens iron. If we ever need a relationship, we need them right now. But you know, when we get together, if we're talking about people, then we know And we don't, but you've been with people who talk about people. That means they're hurt, right? But when we get together and talk about God's plan for our life, and we know we got the focus down right, right? So hurt comes to hold us hostage and get us to be distracted from God's plan for our life and spend all of our energy and give those people real estate in our head so we die with regret. Oh my goodness. And then number five is, what do? Release it to, you see it on there? You could actually take a picture of that and put that on your husband's, make a picture of that. Put that on your coworker. Take a picture of that. Give it to your neighbor. Take a picture of that and put it on your cell phone to remind us, because you will be hurt this week. And we're going to have to forgive this week. The Lord's Prayer, we're to pray it daily. And in that Lord's Prayer is, forgive us as we forgive our daily debts. Daily, we got to ask for forgiveness. And we got to give it. Amen, church. Okay, so here's Job 11. I love this. Let's go to Job 11 real quick, verse 13 through 19. Can we? And this gives us strategy as we get ready to respond in our service today. Look what he says. This would be a good thought right here. Surrender your hurt, surrender your heart to God. Remember, we can't forgive on our own. It's too difficult, right, church? We need God, and God can help us. So surrender our heart to God, and then what? Turn to Him in prayer. Wow, that's good counsel. Pastor, you don't know what? I'm sorry, but God does. And He said, give it to Him today. Those of you who are watching online, you wanted to be here, you couldn't be here, and this is your church, give it to Him today in prayer. Next verse, verse 15. And give up your sins. Give up your sins. You know, anything that I've done, every day I ask God to forgive me of any sin, known and unknown. Right? Because I can't have a great life and have unconfessed sin. I can't have a successful life as a Christian and have unconfessed sin. 1 John 1:9, confess your sin, He's faithful and just. That's talking to Christians there in 1 John 1:9, New Testament. Give up your sins, and even those you do in secret. Verse 15, then you will not be ashamed. You'll live with confidence, boldness. You'll live daring and fearless. You then can face life. You can face and get up again. You can face the people that hurt you confidently, even though maybe there's no reconciliation and you haven't forgotten it, but there's less pain and more peace when it comes up. Next verse, your troubles will go away. All those memories, those troubles, that hurt will go away like water beneath a... You ever heard somebody say it's like water? Scripture. Troubles go away. Next verse. And your darkest night, the darkest, the divorce, the rape, the incest, the drugs, the addiction, the misunderstanding, the firing, the let go, the betrayal, the ex, the negative report, the darkest hour event, the darkest calamity, God can turn it into an opportunity if I'll take it to Him and prayer. And He takes your darkest night and He turns it into the brightest high noon. Oh yeah. Ashes, wow, it gives you beauty. Amen. What the cankerworm has stolen has to be restored back to you sevenfold. Next verse. You will rest safe. But don't you like what they said on the video, that Church on the Rock is a safe place? You know, you got to know you're safe or you won't open up. You got to know you're in a safe place or you won't open up. Wow. You'll feel safe and there'll be rest. That's peace. And you'll be filled with what? Hope. Because your eyes are off the people who hurt you and they're on the plan of God for you. And you have hope and you've been emptied of all worry. Oh my goodness. Oh, isn't this good? All as a result of surrendering your life daily to God. Next verse. Verse 19, you'll sleep like a baby, but some babies don't sleep. And all the nursery workers said, thank God for the nursery ministers at our church. Can we give them a hand clap? And your sleep will be without fear. And look at this. And when you die, when you live and when you die, you will be no regret, but you'll be greatly respected by your family and your friends and your peers. And if y'all got something today from God's word, give him the glory, would you?
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.